Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you that you have taken us aside by your Holy Spirit to speak to us. Lord, that you have drawn us unto yourself in seeking you in prayer, that you have been pouring your Spirit into our lives, and that the Word of God is truth. We ask today to be set apart, sanctified by your truth, just as you, Christ Jesus our Lord, set apart your life by the Word to fulfill what the Messiah would do. We who follow you ask of you today to give us the same Holy Spirit and the same power that you served and ministered with, that your power may be upon our lives in all manner of walking forth where people live, where they work, Lord, where real life happens. So we ask for this power of the Spirit to be upon us, that we, your church, could be Spirit-filled. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So for those of you who read ahead and check the website, our normal course of being in 2 Corinthians, which would have been chapter 9 for today, and we paused that. Recently was out in Philadelphia for the East Coast Pastors Conference at Calvary Chapel, Philly, and came back in prayerful. Just want to offer this up. That's what today is about. It's the conference recap, but it's not the whole conference. I'm not going to recap the whole conference. But I'm going to offer up to us these things that I believe the Spirit of God is saying to us, and to encourage you along the way that as you would listen and you would pray and that you would walk in the Spirit of God and that you would know what to do. You would know what to stay away from. You would know by the Spirit of God how he is leading in your life. And I'm really going to be recapping two sessions. And this is session two, taught by Raz, as Pastor Joe would pronounce his name, Vasquez. Raz Vasquez, again, was really the founding pastor of Calvary Chapel, Miami. And he brought forth a teaching that I'm going to recap together with you. And session five, okay? Session five, which was Pastor Mike McIntosh and his session on calling us to intercession and prayer. So, did I pray already? Okay. Lord, I pray again. Humble ourselves before you, asking to be set apart, counting the cost of what it means for us to be yours and to be sendable. Lord, teach us today how we can know when we are Spirit-filled in ministry. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So it's my thoughtful and prayerful word to you that the people of God should have a shepherd. Right? Remember Jesus when he would see the multitudes? And he would look upon the multitudes with compassion, and one prevailing thought kept coming forth, is that they were like sheep that were scattered, sheep without a shepherd. And it's our part that I believe that God is sending us to bring people to God, bring them to the Good Shepherd, to, with compassion, to go forth and preach this gospel of Jesus Christ in such a way that there should be a shepherd for the people, that people are scattered. Okay, second thought on there is that in order to do that, we need the same power that Jesus had upon his life. Again, I hint at it in prayer, but now I'm putting this before you. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to go forth and do the works that God has given us to do. It's said in Luke chapter 4 that Jesus returned. After, so again, this is after his water baptism. This is after being tempted in the wilderness, having all power over the temptations that the devil was trying to get him to sin. He did not sin, and the Bible describes that he came forth in the power of the Spirit. Luke 4, 14 and 15, if you're looking for the reference as I'm describing that. And I'm here to offer up to us today on two lines, right? Two things. Two things that I'm recapping to us today is how to know your Spirit-filled in all ministry, and secondly, a plea for each and every one of us to become men and women of prayer. Now, it's described for us in Acts chapter 8 that the persecution arose in Jerusalem and scattered out the believers out of Jerusalem. And it's described that they preached, Acts 8:4. Those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Now, I believe God has called us. And I believe that, God has placed us, put his spirit in us, a love and a desire for his word, a love and desire for this gospel to be shared out. And that this work of God that's described in Acts 4, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Okay, Acts 8:4, 5, and 6, right? You have this, you understand this, you know what this is. Put your right finger there, and I want you to go back to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. So in order to be in the power of the Spirit and to be Spirit-filled in all ministry, you actually need to receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Okay. Jesus' promise. Okay, you understand this. He describes the promise of the Father. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Okay, it's recorded in Acts 2 that the Holy Spirit came upon them and they went forth. Now, here we are, and as I would describe this, looking at Acts chapter 8 and considering what this means for us, looking, and I'm reading it, Acts 8:5, Philip went down to Samaria to be a witness unto Jesus Christ, the power of God. Now, when you look at this in Acts chapter 8, they heeded the things spoken by Philip, and then there was this accompanying power of the miraculous work of God. Now, I'm speaking freely to all of you today. Again, those of you know that I met Corey Kilgus, who is a missionary who's planting and teaching and training up pastors in Peru, and I was with him in Africa in October. And took some gifts of the Holy Spirit with me, knowing I would see him and encourage and exhorting him. And by the Holy Spirit wants to impart to him the miraculous for what he's in. Power to cast out demons. Power to heal. Now, I offer up to us, we are either going to be unbelieving and dead, or we're going to be believing and alive. You read your scriptures, and when did this end? I'm looking at Acts 1:8, and in history, I'm seeing Acts 8:5. Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ. Okay, I'm offering up to us how we can know that we are Spirit-filled in all ministry. We're going to learn from Acts chapter 8. We're going to learn from Philip. I'm not proposing for you that we're going to, again, have the miracles. I don't know that. I know that the Holy Spirit had me take that to Corey. Prayed, agreed together, laid hands on, and again, just trusting. And as I'm sharing that with him, he's like, this is exactly, you would have no idea how many demons, how much demonic activity we face in Peru. Now, my offering up to us, Acts 8:7, unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed, many who were paralyzed, and the lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. Now I press forward into this, okay, as you hear that, okay, the laying on of hands, right? So look at verse 14. When the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, okay, you're hearing me, that this gospel goes forth and there is a power of the gospel. There is a power that when it is preached and that you don't have to dress up the gospel, you don't have to sell the gospel. You go out in the power of the Holy Spirit upon Philip, in the power of the Spirit, went down to Samaria to be a witness unto Jesus Christ. and this power of the Spirit is upon him. Then the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God. They sent for Peter and John. They sent Peter and John to them. And when they had come down, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them, for they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Acts 8:17. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now, let's be very clear. Okay, in the history, again, Book of Acts records, they heeded the word of God. They believed. Okay, but they had not yet received this baptism with the Holy Spirit, the releasing of the power of God upon their lives. And as they laid hands on, they received the Holy Spirit. Okay, Simon the sorcerer, again, saw that the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given. Now, I just establishing for us, this is what we believe in practice. Okay? This is our practice in church. It's in the Bible. It's in the book of Acts. Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. Again, all of these things that we see in the scriptures, they are for our practice. If it's instructed in the letters to the churches that Paul gave, Peter gave, that the apostles wrote, that's our practice. And I hold to that. Now, we get on to this. Now I'm just starting session two. That's my introduction. To teach this. Raz Vasquez, right? Acts chapter 8. And he describes about the leading of the Holy Spirit. And he says this. It's a great privilege to be led by the Holy Spirit. Do you hear that, church? Okay. Are you hearing me? It's a great privilege to be led by the Holy Spirit. So he described the results of being led by the Holy Spirit. Listen to this, the divine, visible results. Now, first in your mind, right? Do you understand what I'm saying? First, you must, in your mind, know what the divine visible results are, so that when you see them, you're going to then know what the Holy Spirit has done. Now, we introduce this in Samaria, the Holy Spirit fulfilling, Acts 1:8. Philip comes down, Holy Spirit upon him. And now let's get on to this in verse 26, 8:26. It says, the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise, go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. Now, I want us to know that we are being Spirit-filled in all ministry. First and foremost, as we learn from Philip in describing, again, remember Philip, one of the deacons, and an understanding with Philip, as he went down, he preached Christ, miraculous works, gifts of the Spirit are upon Philip's life. And you get to verse 26. So between verse 6, okay, and on to 26, you'll notice, once the apostles came and the baptism with the Holy Spirit came, Philip's not heard of in doing ministry in Samaria. Okay? Now, I need you to concentrate with me all today, right? I need you to get through whatever might be going on and bring a concentration to this, because I don't want this lost today. You'll notice that Philip went down to Samaria, and God used him to open the door. Then the Holy Spirit was poured out, and Philip's not doing ministry, or there's no record of him doing ministry in Samaria. And so one of the first, again, divine, visible results of being Spirit-filled in all ministry, and you're going to see it here, that there will be ministry. First and foremost, the angel of the Lord comes and speaks to Philip, who isn't being used of anymore. He was used to open the door, and the angel of the Lord speaks to Philip and gives him, he ministers to Philip and gives him instruction. Okay, listen to this, right? As you would have this, the Holy Spirit will minister to the minister. Okay? This this leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit. There will be ministry. The ministry of Philip, to open the door and preach that many are saved. The apostles come down when the Holy Spirit comes upon him. He's not heard of in Samaria again. Now, is he going to sit there and mope? No. And here is the beginning of Spirit-filled ministry. The angel of the Lord speaks to him, arise. That word for arise is a get up out of your deadness and go. Now, you understand why my voice is this way when I say that. I'm speaking and encouraged to every one of you. Arise out of your situation, wherever you may be living. Get up and go with us to one of the three cities where we're starting church this summer. I want you to hear God's voice as I'm encouraging you. Arise. Doesn't matter what your life is. Doesn't matter how good you're living your Christian life or not. It's not your performance. It's not anything other. If you understand, arise, go. Arise and go toward the south along the road from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So the beginning of the divine visible results of being led by the Holy Spirit, there will be a ministry. And I show this to you again. It's like I'm teaching somebody else's sermon, but I'm not really teaching it. I'm only learning it. And then handing it off in the context to you that you would learn what I've learned. And again, recapping this, listen for God to speak unto you to get up and go where you need to get to. Right? This isn't about leaving church, right? This is about hearing and going and doing. Now, ministry happens by the Holy Spirit. He's told to go. He goes. Okay? Don't quench the Holy Spirit. And at that point, where Philip hears from God, he's told to get up and go. What does he do? He goes. And this is my word to you all today. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. You might be in prayer, right? You might be in church. You might hear God's voice, and you're wondering and thinking, is God talking to me about this? And I'm offering up to you, if you believe that's the Holy Spirit, and what do we learn about being Spirit-filled in all ministry? The first thing will be that God will minister to you before you go minister. Okay? The very first one, under authority, again, so you describe this. Philip is a man under the authority of the Holy Spirit. He's going to be sent to a man who is under authority of a ruler of this world. The Holy Spirit, again, think of this, servants and submitted. And I offer this up to you. The next divine visible results of being Spirit-filled in all ministry, that will produce, men will be produced in that ministry. Do you hear that? So it begins with the Spirit. There will be ministry. There will be men. Okay? There will be men who can go. There will be men to go. There will be men to teach. There will be men to preach. There will be divine visible results. Men will be produced in that ministry. So in Acts 8:27 describes that Philip arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority. Listen. He came up to Jerusalem to find God, only to be turned away. Why? He's a eunuch. He was not allowed to go into the presence of God. So what's the hope for him? Again, that was Deuteronomy 23:1, that he would not enter the assembly of the Lord. Now, you need to understand now that in Christ Jesus, right? This is why Philip is being sent. In Christ Jesus is anyone kept from the assembly of the Lord based off of. And this is the truth. Okay? He had come up to Jerusalem to worship, and he was returning. Now, he's carrying the scroll. These divine visible results. There will be ministry. There will be men. Again, as I offer this up. And this is where I would encourage you. This is what's happening with us. This is what's happening with us in church. Okay? We've been praying. I laid this prayer before the church, before all of you, and I'm asking for seven men to go forth and do this work that God has called us to do. I've opened up the opportunity unto all of you to describe the door is open for Valley City, and I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 families and another who's already said to me, I'm going to Valley City weekly. And I have one to do worship, and the needs are being met. And listen, I knocked on the door where the Bible study is to be at, and the door is open, and we walk through that door. Okay. So now, in the context of this, truth be told, I was kind of geeking out at the session while I was in there. All right. Because as this is the very first teaching session, and it's the... And he even used this phrase, being spirit-filled in all ministry, the very pivot that I have offered to the church. Now, as I offer this up, and again, just trying to draw this out, that there are these marks. And this first one, there will be a mess. So if you look at verse 31 with me, okay? So you have this phrase where he's not allowed, this eunuch is not allowed to go into the assembly of God, but he comes back reading the scriptures from Isaiah the prophet. Verse 29, the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake the chariot. Philip ran to him, and he heard him reading in the place of Isaiah, reading the prophet Isaiah, said, do you understand what you're reading? This is the message you're going to find people in. You're going to find people don't know about all of the Bible characters that used to be well known in North Dakota. You're going to find that when we go out, they're not going to know the stories of David. They're not going to know who, again, this is the mess we're going to find. Do you understand what you're reading? He said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. How do you know when you're spirit-filled in all ministry? Well, there'll be ministry, there'll be men. Listen, there'll be a mess. Usually, that's the place where we miss it. Like, oh, it's just, they don't understand. In fact, you've been sent to those who don't understand. Okay, that's why you're being sent. Why was Philip sent? Because the mess was he's reading the scriptures and cannot understand. And what he said, unless someone guides me. Unless someone guides me. There'll be a mess. The divine visible results. Ministry, men, a mess. How do you know being spirit-filled in ministry? It's messy. Otherwise, if they didn't need somebody, you wouldn't have been sent there. And so when you encounter the mess, what do you know? It's the Holy Spirit. And then you pray, like, what do I say? What do I do? How can I unless someone guides me? Verse 32, the place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb before his shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Okay, so running to get there on time, hearing and overhearing, and or the eunuch has read through that, and he gets stuck on this passage that describes the one who would suffer and die. The question, okay? You look at this in 32 and then 33. In his humiliation, so the place in the scripture he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb before his shearer is silent. He opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away, and who will declare his generation? His life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, whom does this prophet say this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now, how do you know that you're being spirit-filled in all ministry? We have to know this as a church, okay? First, the Holy Spirit will minister to us. And think about what we do in church services, afterglows, prayer meetings, waiting upon God. To hear God, to worship God, and to hear Him. In order for us to go, again, I laid it out before the church this morning in prayer. I believe I have heard that God wants us to go and start these churches this summer, and that every one of them, when I laid them up before Him, is the door open to go? I received the answer, yes. So in being Spirit-filled, again, and then describing to all of you, I'm asking you, which one are you going to? And I'm not going to direct you. But I do believe the second one is in place, that the Holy Spirit is ministering unto us. Okay, I believe that wholeheartedly. And I believe that there are, in one of the visible divine results for me, as I've offered it up, again, I have men who say, I'm going to go there and teach that. I have those doing worship say, I'll go and do worship. I'm having others say, we will go along and get this going. This is our, as it were, our Judea, drivable. Nobody's moving. Nobody's leaving and moving there. I don't know what the next step is. What I do know is we're going there to start this. And you'll notice I expect it to be messy. I expect to find messy lives. I expect to find it hard, difficult. And when God does this, we're all going to stand in awe and say, this is the power of God. We simply preach Christ. Again, we're not doing it another way. We're going to preach the gospel. Verse 35, Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. The message is Jesus. The gospel, if you think about this, if there was one book of the Bible that, again, under the writings of the Jews, if there was one book that the eunuch could take back with him and Philip is interacting with him, that he had one book of the Bible. Okay? He had one manuscript, if you will. And it's the place where Isaiah is prophesying that the Messiah would suffer and die. And I offer up, use the scriptures. Okay? When you're being spirit-filled, the message of Christ, the gospel, use the scriptures, the divine visible results, there will be the manuscript. It'll be the Word of God. Do you hear that? The work of God's Spirit is not apart from the Word of God. It is with and through the Word of God. Visible divine results of the Spirit is that it's all about Jesus, the love of Jesus, and you're going to find that in the Word of God, and that's the part to take. Now they went down the road and they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? You do realize he had come up to Jerusalem only to be what? Turned away. Now, my part for us when we go, and this is the divine visible results, when one is brought there, okay, one is brought there by the power of God, by this again, spirit-filled in all ministry, you'll notice he initiates, what hinders me from being baptized? Do you know that he would see others come up to Jerusalem and they would go into the mikveh, again, the ceremonial cleansing before they could go up to the temple? And when he would come to the temple, right, and again, come for that ceremonial cleansing, only to be told him what? You can't. And they would take him to the law. But Isaiah prophesied three chapters later, describing that the eunuch would become fruitful. For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths and choose what pleases me, Isaiah 56:4, and chooses what pleases me, hold fast my covenant, even to them I will give my house, and within my walls a place and name better than that of sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off, and the sons of a foreigner. Do you know that Isaiah, he's holding the scroll that Holy Spirit's talking directly to him? This is how, when I describe being spirit-filled, it's not just a Bible verse that you're taking to somebody. It'll be the very verse that the Holy Spirit wants them to have. Again, there will be ministry. In order for the ministers to go out and minister, God will minister to the ministers so they have something to minister with. That's how you know you're being spirit-filled. Okay? There will be men. Okay? What do we have going on right now in our church? We have men who are saying what? I will go. We're having families, husbands and wives together saying what? We will go. What are we going with? The Word of God. The message of Christ. Right? The manuscript. Right? What are you going to find there? You're going to find a mess. See, most will turn away at the mess and say, what? Oh, that's not the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, what are you going to find? A mess. Don't back away from that. Then you see, again, as you see this, you have the manuscript. You have the Word of God by the Holy Spirit talking to the person that you're witnessing with. Show them the Scriptures. Open up the exact Scriptures that the Holy Spirit gives. That's how you're known. It'll be Spirit-filled in all ministry. 37, Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. No 10-week class to see if you can be water baptized. Do you believe in the Son of God? Okay, this is what this is about. He becomes, if you hear it, in Judaism, he was not allowed to come into the presence of God, but in Christ Jesus, this man whose life was a mess was joined to the house, the assembly of Jesus Christ. You may. He commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Now, this last one, again, offering up, last two, because you see something take place, right? And they're all M's if you didn't get this today, okay? How do you know when you're being Spirit-filled in all ministry? There will be ministry, there will be men, there will be a mess, there will be the manuscript, the Word of God, and there will be the Master, Jesus Christ. Where did Philip bring this man? To the Master. This is the key. How do you know when you're being Spirit-filled in all ministry? You don't just bring people to church or a Bible study, you bring them to Christ. See, and this is my word to us, just to encourage us. Our goal is not for people, we should never be glorified. We come forth in the power of the Spirit of God and go forth and do what He calls us to do. They should glorify Jesus through and through. Okay, how do you know that you're Spirit-filled in all ministry? It will be about the Master. And the last one, it'll be meaningful. You hear that? Here he is. Philip is caught away. The eunuch saw him no more, but he went on his way rejoicing. He went up to Jerusalem only to be turned away, that he could not find God and come into his presence, only to find that in the preaching of Christ Jesus, God had seen him coming and made provision for a eunuch and promised him to have a fruitful life. This eunuch went back and brought the gospel to the Sudan. Ethiopia is a word that the Greek translators tried to identify a part in Africa. But this is the part of Africa I went into last October. Do you know that when Livingston got to that part of Africa, what did he find out? He wasn't bringing the gospel there. They already had the gospel of Jesus Christ. Where did they get it from? The eunuch. How many sons and daughters does he have? That's the promise fulfilled. Now, that's meaningful. That which you are sharing with another that changes their eternal destiny. Do you hear that? That which changes their fruitfulness. In that mess, you're going to find lives who have been destroyed by sin, their own sin, wrecked, destroyed lives with what? The promise that you can have a fruitful life and that you can share that gospel with another and you will have from your life, you'll have others who come to faith in Christ Jesus. It will be meaningful. Is your ministry meaningful? This is what gets all the way through. How do you know that you're Spirit-filled in all ministry? Okay. Now, last thing I want to pick up. Could you tell me about your prayer life? Right? Could you tell me about your prayer life? Intercession is praying and asking God to bring people to what God has for them to do. Healing, do I expect the Lord to answer my prayers? Do you hear that one? Praying for healing, I expect the Lord to answer my prayers. The love of God through prayer is overwhelming. The warning from Pastor Mike McIntosh was that shepherds are not teaching the people how to pray. So I take that personally, right? And then likewise that for us, I must pray, and I'm working this out on devoting more time to the ministry of intercession, because ordinary prayer will not do for what we have to do this summer. Ordinary prayer will not work. Ordinary prayer, where we just pray and leave it off. Well, whatever God wants to do. When you leave prayer that way, that's ordinary prayer. But in intercession, seeking God by the Holy Spirit to draw unto God's will what he wants to do, and what he wants to do for people, and what he wants to do through people, okay? And this is what I'm offering up. If you could tell me about your prayer life, I want to enlist all of you from today forward into the ministry of intercession, praying, seeking and praying God's will for those that you don't even know yet, but are known to God and that will be sent to them so that they might be saved and they could take the gospel with them to tell others also. So today begins teaching the people how to pray. When God guides, God provides. Do you hear that one? When God guides, God provides. Trust God in prayer. That is where the battle is fought and won in prayer. Give your love through prayer. Minister to the people who are right in front of you. And these are just me just picking up things from the teaching that I'm receiving. I'm going to hand them off to you. Prayer, loving Jesus for what he has done, and then this question, what does he want done? Pray. Prayer to the throne of God. Start with you and the Lord. Thank him, praise him, adore him. And then I offer this up. Intercessors are needed. Praying for the work. So here's my goal and desire. Is not only would you hear the Spirit filled in all ministry and see the ministry that the Spirit's been doing with us, to have men that are sendable and ready to go with this mess we're going to encounter, and have the manuscript, and then bring them to the master, and then have this meaningful work. I do not want to go just to do the exercise and just to get the practice of doing a Bible study. So, we did it. This has to be meaningful, lasting, appointed to go and bear fruit, and that the fruit should remain. And here's where I want to enlist you all. Will you pray? Will you not just pray ordinary prayers, but you'll take up the ministry of intercession? And find your way to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Since ordinary prayer will not do this summer, in order for us to have this lasting, fruitful, meaningful, we are not at all interested in getting people from other churches. We're going to get the scattered sheep, and we're going to water seeds that have been sown. There are unbelievers who have some part of the Word of God sown in their heart that needs to be watered, that they would believe and receive. Okay? ordinary prayer will not do. Therefore, 1 Timothy 2:1, therefore I first exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. So I asked at the top of this part of the section, could you tell me about your prayer life? I'm asking each and every one of you, which one will you pray for? Which one will you take up intercession for the people who live and the people we are to reach where we preach and teach Christ Jesus? Will you pray for the people of that city? Which one? Valley City, Jamestown, Wahpeton, Grand Forks, Fargo, Moorhead, West Fargo. Is that seven? Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Intercessors are needed. Praying for the work by prayer. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. This is the preparation. Okay. God has set before us an open door. You do not need to pray to get the door open. Do you hear that? Those prayers have been answered. The door is open. Now, God does big things. God does little things. So I'm offering up to you this prayer of intercession has already opened the door for us, and the Holy Spirit has says yes to all of these. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, the ministry of intercession. Now, I picked up this Helps to Intercession, got back on Wednesday night, cleared up all the mess in my own life on Thursday, and picked up Helps to Intercession on 23rd day, which was Friday, 2 days ago, and began with this: what to pray for the Holy Spirit in your own work. 24th day, what to pray for the Spirit on your own congregation. I spent a good portion of yesterday praying for God's Holy Spirit to be upon all of you. Okay? And today's for more conversions. And so I spent a good portion of this morning knowing all that I'm bringing today, interceding for the beginning of this work where we're going to go out. So what's my anticipation? My anticipation is that the Spirit of God would fill us and we would offer up intercessions. The giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings who are all in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. I believe that we are appointed to go forth with the preaching and teaching of Jesus Christ to these cities in North Dakota. But you say there's churches there already. Okay? Holy Spirit knows that already. You'd say, well, Philip, there's a temple in Jerusalem. The eunuch came up there. Why does Philip have to go? Because people aren't getting to Christ. So we're sent, and my thing to you is, will you be a man of prayer? Will you be a woman of prayer? Nobody sees it but you and God, and then maybe it's, I will give an hour today to pray for those in Valley City to believe the gospel and be saved. I will give an hour today for those in Jamestown that I have not met yet, but God knows who they are. And I'll give an hour today to pray that they would be saved. Interceding for people, praying for them on Christ's behalf of what he wants to do for them. And I wrap up today with this. Will you pray with me right now between you and God alone? And if this is reaching you, and you say, God, make me a man of prayer. God, make me a woman of prayer. Pastor Mike gave testimony of intercession of those. He had a man in his church who was saved at 15 in the Welsh revivals, and he came to live in San Diego, and he named three people who were interceding for souls to be saved in San Diego. And at the time of that intercession, they were experiencing 300 to 400 conversions a week. Now, do you hear that? Are any of you interested in just going out and just having a fun time and nothing happening? Or are you interested in seeing the divine, visible results of Spirit-filled in all ministry, and to see God do this mighty work that the Scriptures reveal? So, if that's your prayer, God, make me a woman of prayer, right? God, make me a man of prayer. Take about 30 seconds to pray that to Him and pray for that answer between you and Him. I believe it is God's will for you to be a man of prayer. I believe it is God's will for you to be a woman of prayer. And the verses I read next is 1 John 5, 14 and 15. And this is what we close with today. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Okay? If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. So Father in heaven, I pray that You would receive those prayers of asking You to make us men of prayer, to make us women of prayer, that this intercession that would absolutely change the eternal destiny of the families, their children, grandchildren, Lord, that You would bring a mighty work of salvation. Lord, that we would see in our days a salvation of the power of God through the gospel of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit to go forth to see You save North Dakotans, to see You save, Lord, in our Jerusalem and Judea. And we call upon You that we believe we have Your will and that You would raise up men to send, men to pray, women to pray. You would raise up intercessors, and that we could raise up those to intercede who are already living in these cities. And we ask that the power of the Spirit would be upon us and You would answer those prayers to make us Yours. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.